Because my family, my sister Diane came to know the Lord. My sister Barbara did. My brother Donnie, no, you didn't talk to him about God. He grew up very, very bitter, very bitter. I mean, I was 5, which meant he was 15 when Mom left, and it was hard, really hard on him. He went and got in a lot of trouble with the law, and he didn't want to hear about Jesus, just didn't. And even as an adult, I would go to his house, and I was probably the only one that could give him a lecture and a finger. Stop behaving like that. You've got to trust the Lord. No. I mean, he would open the door and ask you to leave if you wanted to talk about Jesus. That's how set against it he was. So when he got sick and he was at home, I would go visit him, take him his popsicles and his candies, and I would say, "Can I pray with you?" He'd say, "No, you can't pray with me." Okay. Well, when I was leaving, I'd give him a kiss on the forehead and say, "I love you, and I'm going to be praying anyway." So I'd leave. Well, when he was in the hospital, and I got a call to come, and, you know, we were just sitting there. He says, "Where's Donna?" I said, "I'm here." He said, "Come here." So I go over. I said, "What?" He goes, he asked everybody else to leave, and him and I were sitting there, and he said, because I was his baby, he was my James Dean. He said, "Donna, stop fretting about this. Everybody goes to the same place." I said, no, they don't. But you got to decide now while you're still breathing. There's a choice to be made. And if you won't choose Jesus, then you've actually chosen the enemy. There's only 2 choices. You have to be inviting Jesus in for yourself. Now, he heard my grandparents. He, all of his life, I mean, all of us knew what Grandma and Grandpa stood for. And he wanted nothing to do with it. But that day, because we had been praying so hard, I did not want him to leave without knowing where he was going. He was my big brother. And so he said to me, "Well," I said, "will you just pray with me, please?" "Well, okay, we'll pray." So we prayed. And about, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours later, we're there, and he said, "Donna." That was his, get my attention. I said, "Yes." He said, "Is there a Bible here?" I said, "Oh, I don't know if they put Bibles in rooms anymore or not." So I had a look, and no. I said, "Well, what is it? Maybe I can help you. What is it you want to know?" "I want to know everything. I want to know it all." I said, "Well, I will bring my Bible up and we will read. And Jesus is going to open doors and you're going to know what there is to know. You're going to understand what's being said." And the next day, my brother left and went home to be with Jesus. Talk about waiting for the 11th hour. And so many people do that, don't they? We could be enjoying our lives to the fullest every day, because that's who Jesus is. He doesn't want us just to be saved, to sit around like lumps. He wants us to have joy and peace and gladness. And if I had to tell everything that Jesus did for me, I was looking through my Bible, and I like to write down dates. And it looks like a little roadmap in there. All the promises that God has for me, for you. But I've marked down in my Bible all the promises that are for me. And that is the Jesus that loved me when I was a little kid. When nobody else wanted to love me, nobody else wanted to having around, I was kind of just there. Even in Sunday school, I didn't fit in because those kids all came from what I called good homes. I mean, I don't know what they were like behind closed doors, but they had nice clothes and they went to nice schools and, you know, they'd all be talking about, oh, we're going to this on that night. We're going. I'm just kind of sitting there like a lump thinking, I just don't fit in here either. We all love Jesus. Why am I still like the outcast? And so that's the way life went for me. That's how I felt. That's how I grew up. That was okay. Because Jesus loved me. And I know my first husband loved me. We didn't, we both made bad choices, so it didn't last. He is my best friend today. Lawrence loved me unconditionally. He showed me what it was to just be loved. Not because you do this or because you're that, or he just loved me. And that's the way Jesus needed me to know love. When you know Jesus loves you, it's like, I know you love me. I know you love me. I could use a hug. Well, he did that through Lawrence for me because he was an encourager. He'd come up and give me a hug for no reason and say, what's wrong? Everything okay? Yeah, everything's good. Okay. Because we worked together all the time. I worked in construction with him. We worked on the farm together. We were just together all the time, but off doing our own, you know, we'd be on the farm all day and see each other at supper time. That was fine. But Jesus made the difference by showing me love through somebody. Like real love. Not just love that you get because you're nice and, oh, but if I get mad at you, I'm not going to love you anymore. That's the way I felt because that's the way I grew up. Never being told that, you know, I was loved or I was special or we didn't sit and read books. We didn't sit on the couch and watch TV. I mean, my girls and I, we used to sit on the couch and look like pretzels watching TVs. We'd all be wrapped in around each other and covered up in blankets. And that was good because it was important to me that my children knew that they are loved. You are special. Here, I just want to give you a hug today. That was important, that my Jesus be important to them. And he is. Took a lot of years, a lot of calluses on my knees. But my children know and love Jesus. What more could a mother ask for, or a father? We want our children to inherit what we've inherited. And because Jesus died so selflessly for us, for me, even though I made these terrible choices and these bad mistakes and did things that I'm sure weren't meeting his standards or approval, but I knew he loved me and I knew he was there. He just is the center. Jesus is the center of everything that goes on in my life. Not saying I'm perfect, not by a long shot. Wendy will tell you, I'm not perfect, but I love Jesus. And I allow Jesus to work in me. I just, every day it's like, Lord, I just want to be surrendered to you. I just want you. I want more of you. And he gives me more and more and more. And, you know, years, I've taught Sunday school. I've been in, you know, coffee house, been involved with that, been involved with stuff around here for many years. And this is my family. You know, I've lost most of my siblings. My dad had a second marriage and they had a set of twins, Bonnie and Bobby. That brother died. But I still have Bonnie, and then they adopted a little girl, Leslie. So I've got Bonnie and Leslie. We're the three musketeers now. So I have them. But the most important thing in the world to have is Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you really don't have anything. Because guess what? Whatever you think you've got today, it can be gone by tomorrow. You know, don't depend on, I've got this, I've got that, you know, I've got my future looked after. How do you know? You don't know what your future holds. You don't know what's going to happen in this world tomorrow. And so we have to make Jesus the very most important thing that there is. I love Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say I love Jesus. And when I go out places, I tell people about Jesus. The Lord has touched me and healed me. How can I not tell people about that? I was to have surgery for a torn rotator cuff that I completely forgot about. Completely. I get a call to go to the surgeon. Well, I think it's for my hip. And I get in there and it's like, well, okay, it's your right arm. And I'm going, my arm? It's my hip. She's going, no, it's a torn rotator cuff. That's your... I said, oh, yeah, I forgot. So when I went in and saw the doctor, I said, okay, let me ask you something. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Yes, I do. Great. I said, because I've got to show you something. He goes, oh. I said, right. That was prayer. Jesus touched me, and he fixed that rotator cuff or whatever he did in there. I don't know, but I'm moving, and I'm not in pain. Well, he said, that's wonderful. I love to hear miracle stories. I went, well, wait, the miracle's not over yet. And he looked at me. I said, oh, yeah, I'm walking bone on bone. I'm waiting for hip surgery. And he looked at me. He says, all right, well, we're not doing anything with your arm, obviously. Okay, I said, good, then I'm done here. He said, well, pray for me because I got some things wrong. I said, oh, really? So I shut the door again and went back in. I said, well, let's pray. I sat there in the doctor's office and prayed with him. I mean, praise God. Praise God. Does that even happen? Yes, it does. And so I'm trusting the Lord. I don't know what's going on here. Doesn't matter. If they have to fix something, go ahead and fix it. I'm not in pain because Jesus knows I'm allergic to pain. I go to the doctor, I go to the hospital. What are you allergic to? Pain. Let's be nice to each other, okay? I'm allergic to pain. Jesus did something for me. For me. The person that was the outcast everywhere she went, pretty much. That was fine. I got used to it. I just got used to it because Jesus was always in my corner. He was just always in my corner. And he has seen me through life and death, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs. You know, sometimes my kids and I, when they were little, we wouldn't know where our next meal was coming from. But Jesus always provided it. Christmas time, I had just moved to a farm. Snowstorm, no gifts, no money. My kids wanted a Christmas tree. So I went and saddled up the horse, and we went out and we got ourselves a Christmas tree. By the grace of God, we had what we needed. And you know, he's never let me down. Jesus has never, ever failed me. Never failed me. I wish I could say the same, that I've never failed the Lord. I'm not always obedient. I'm not always a lot of things, but I'm always in love with Jesus. He is first and foremost. He will see me through to the end, whenever that might be. I don't care. Take me home now, that's fine. I just know that I've relied on Jesus all my life, all my life. And he loved me when nobody else did. And he saw me through, and he got me through. And I just love him. And I hope everybody in here loves Jesus. I think everybody here knows Jesus, but I can't really say. How do I know? If you don't know him, get to know him. If you do know him, trust him. He doesn't leave you and he doesn't forsake you, and he's going to love you no matter what. So I've talked my overtime. Liz was supposed to have a rope on me back there to pull on me. But anyway, I just, I'm sure when I look at my notes, I'm going to go, oh, I forgot that. I forgot about that. But it doesn't matter. Because all the point I wanted to get across was Jesus has never forsaken me. He's never let me down, ever, ever. He's come to me when I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it ever. None of us deserve what Jesus does. And so I thank you for your patience, and I hope I didn't bend your ear too much. And I'll be sad when I get home and see all the stuff I missed, but that's okay. I had all my scriptures written down, but it's all right because Jesus took over. And I thank you.